Welcome back, listeners, to your Game of Thrones after show here at AfterBuzz TV. Today we are talking about Season 6, Episode 6, Blood of My Blood. We got a lot to talk about, so stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Boo! All right. Sad episode. We are here to have more sad things happen. But we got a lot to talk about, guys. I am Kyle Maddock. I'll be your host on the AfterBuzz TV after show today. To my left, I have Kristen Snyder.
Hey, guys. Happy to be here, as always.
Over there, I've got Sarah Stratton.
Woohoo! Happy holiday weekend.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present, we have Fresh Blood of My Blood today.
Hi!
Dave Woo! Child is here with us today.
I'm new! Hi, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
So, Dave, why should we trust your opinions about Game of Thrones?
Hey, listen, I've read all the books, I've done the Dunkin' Egg, like,
yes.
Short stories, too.
Thank you.
I've played the Telltale video game.
Oh. Whoa!
I'm not even messing around.
Is that
here,
the Ironwoods?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
About the Ironwoods and up. Anyways. Yeah,
different
so I know what I'm doing. I have a choreographed dance to the Game of Thrones theme song.
Oh, wow.
So I know what I'm doing here.
Or so he says. And then 15 so minutes later, no.
You're going to rip me apart. I will be talking to you on all of the on the chats, so feel free to chat me up. Send your opinions, like what's the craziest thing that happened in this episode. I'd like to know what you're thinking. What are we going to talk about?
Do you know the chat address? Do you know where it is? Or is
yeah,
it...
it's... what is it? AfterBuzz? I'm still new. It's on the YouTube.
Oh,
go
new.
To the
right.
YouTube.
It's
just
on the...
Look up...
After, what is the AfterBuzz TV on YouTube about...
about Game of Thrones?
Yeah. If you type in AfterBuzz
you know
TV Game of Thrones search...
There we go. We will get that info for you. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Today, Dave.
Thanks. So far, I've gotten Dave is so uncool, he is cool. So.
Nice. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Donna. That's
so,
nice.
Let's talk about another. Let's talk about a character that is so uncool, he is cool. Bran Stark,
oh,
here,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. We get these flashes from him kind of at the top. A lot of stuff going through his head. He gets his father's death. He gets all this crazy stuff. But I think the thing that really stuck out to me was a lot about the Mad King. Aries and burn them all.
A lot of wildfire imagery. I thought it was interesting that in the flashes, we had a couple of flash sections and they were very similar segments. I kind of thought that they were going to switch it up and add new clips, but we saw multiple things of the exact same scenes and people. And if it was the Mad King or the Night's King, like it was just repeated images.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting.
Mm. Well, it shows that he kind of knows what's going on in the whole world. Because there's stuff that a lot of times people don't know what's going on the other side of the world. Or people don't know what's going on. In, Sam doesn't even know what happened to Jon right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Bran is getting little bits of information from all over the place, from the past, maybe even from the future.
Yep. He's got kind of like Cerebro on right now.
Right.
He's yeah, he's like downloading everything. Don't disturb me.
Because he's sort of stuck in this trance from the end of last episode. He can't click out of it for a little bit.
Right.
He's just sort of getting inundated with images.
He needs to learn everything right now. He needs to be ready.
So I had this weird thought as I was watching this. Where Aerys was like, burn them all. And seeing it through Bran's eyes and having like fire and dragon fire and stuff be like the main weapon against the others, I kind of had this thing where like the Mad King wasn't mad. He was prophetic. Is that the right word I'm thinking of?
Right.
And he's like, burn them all. He's talking about like the White Walkers and the White.
I think it's because we're still so influenced by the Hodor, everything that happened with Hodor last week that we're like, oh, it's all tied together.
Yeah.
Because I had the exact same feeling. I was like, well, maybe he just knew more.
Yeah,
maybe there's something there.
He's like, maybe like
some
Bran
connection.
Goes into him and he sort of gets this thing of the future with the Whites and he's like, burn them all. And that's what makes him go crazy.
We're
that's
on
a little,
the,
that's
we're
a little
on the spiral that just goes down.
I think it's also maybe not making him prophetic, but it's showing Bran an idea that he'll now have and how to defeat the White Walkers. Because now he knows about the wildfire. He didn't know about the wildfire until he saw this like flash of the Mad King wanting to burn everyone. So he's probably going to want to, he'll probably talk to Jon Snow or someone about, you know, creating a deal to get all that wildfire up to the wall. That's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that, we have Mirror and Bran, and they are gonna be attacked, and we have here comes the cavalry moment with a character that book readers have been wanting for a long time. I know that. But this character, I don't think they named him in the episode, but we know him as Cold Hands.
Right.
Or well, we do now find Uncle Benjen.
Yeah. Yes.
Or Uncle Benjen, yes. So there's no reason to call him Cold Hands in the show, I guess. So it's Benjen, as far as we know. So Benjen here, he comes to the rescue, and he's got this thing of fire and whatnot, and he's making blood drinks, mixing them cocktails and everything.
And he exists somewhere now in between. I mean, maybe you guys can answer this for me, because I'm kind of interested in what his, I guess, mortality is. Like, if he's killable now, where Uncle Benjen kind of exists. Like, he's obviously had interaction with whites. He's had interactions with Children of the Forest.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, so let's go through his origin here. He gets stabbed by a White Walker and left to die or turn or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And the Children of the Forest show up and sort of halt that progression. And now he's sort of, yes, like you said, he's sort of stuck in the middle between the two worlds.
In between, yeah.
But in order to save him, they stabbed him with dragonglass.
Mm-hmm. Which was from the ritual that we've already seen.
Yes. So now does he have the dragonglass still lodged in there? Is it, if he gets stabbed again by dragonglass, does he die? We don't really know.
Also, like, can he lose an arm and still function? Like, does he, like, there's all of these questions. No, but seriously, yeah, in battle, like, what can be affected to him and he still lives through that?
Right. Hmm.
Or, like, what human qualities does he still have? What does he not? And also, how does he know so much? Like, how was he be able to connect into, like, wargs and everyone?
Well, it looks like he spent a long time with the three-eyed raven. But I really do want to know, is he just trying to warm Bran by having him drink the blood of the rabbits? Like, what is it? What is that supposed to help him?
That might just be, like, a nice protein shake.
Yeah, I'm not up on my nutritional value. Yeah,
vitamin D.
Just be like, oh, this will get some iron in your blood. By the way, we're having some people already shipping. This is weird, guys. Shipping Cold Hands with Benjen with Mira, making it Bira. Someone Alan said that? That's weird.
I think there's a really large age gap there.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to support that one.
No.
There's also some debate about whether Cold Hands is actually Benjen in the books. I always assumed he was going to be revealed to be Benjen, but in the books he's actually never named.
Yeah, that's a popular belief, and that hasn't been confirmed or completely
denied. Do you count this as your confirmation?
I have to. I think there are some major things where I get confirmation from, so yeah.
Right.
Thanks, show. You're spoiling it all for me. No,
he's not riding a stag like he is in the books, though. Cold Hands is like full on trotting around with a stag.
Now, he didn't have any problems lighting the fire, right?
Uh-huh.
He wasn't nervous of that fire at any point, so we have to think that he's not vulnerable to fire like the whites are.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
How? Right. Where is he in between? Like, is this an angel situation
where
he's
like a good guy?
Well, we just got introduced with him. I'm sure we'll get to know him more. They're going to go on a journey. Where is he taking him? We get confirmation from Benjen here that Bran is now the three-eyed raven.
And that he will also, his mission is going to be in some capacity to fight the king.
Yes.
And is that mentally or physically or who knows?
And he was telling him, he goes, you're going to be ready.
Yeah.
He's like, he's support team now.
Well, I'm glad that he's there because he needed somebody else. I mean, Mira was really struggling. And I don't know what her role is going to be. She's always been there for him. But I don't know that have we seen her really come through. I mean, she's just sort of the last one living at this point from the original crew.
Not to discount her, but at this point, what is left for her? Mm-hmm. What's her next mission? Because...
To fall in love with Bran and...
I don't know.
I'm shipping that one right there.
Are you shipping them? That's all we have left for her? Is a relationship?
I mean...
Are you kidding me?
She is badass. She is awesome. I really enjoyed that moment where she's like, I'm sorry, when she thought they were done. She's like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It kind of hit me. Hit me in the feels.
I was worried that, like, did Hodor hold the door for nothing?
Oh.
Why are there all of a sudden, like, White Walkers running around? I was like, no.
Yeah.
But
I wanted this episode to come back to him still holding the door.
Yeah,
I was very, like, very hopeful.
Damn it! They have the Hodor doorstop right there,
right.
Stuck in it. Well, regardless of what exactly is happening, we know that Bran still has a lot to learn sent back to a university, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring you this show week after week for free, and one of the ways we do that is through our sponsors. So the sponsor this week is Chapman University.
Go SoCal.
So boom. Yeah, SoCal. Exactly.
SoCal schools.
I got to say, I have a friend who graduated from Chapman a few years back, and now he travels the world shooting video for like famous companies all around the world. And it is
that
awesome.
Is cool.
And I follow him on Snapchat, and he is just all over the place. And I'm jealous of him all the time. But let me tell you guys a bit about Chapman University. It is located in Orange County. It's 16 miles from the beach, 30 miles from Los Angeles, and minutes from Disneyland and Angel Stadium. And when I was in college, I would have killed to have my campus near Disneyland.
Good location.
It's a tree-lined campus, 75-acre campus in the heart of the historical city of Orange. It is beautiful. I've been down there. I think all of us have been down there, right? It's a beautiful campus. It's 8,000 students enrolled in undergraduate and graduate programs, and they're best known for their programs in film and television, like I mentioned, business, science, technology, education, health sciences, and the arts. They have 10 different schools and colleges and more than 100 different majors and programs. There's literally something for everybody. They free time. There's a lot to do down there, campus and off campus. They're close to 100 clubs and student organizations on campus.
Lots to do.
Lots going on. Reminds me of my Smash Brothers day. I was on campus at mine. I'm a big nerd. Sorry about that.
That's the biggest takeaway from college is Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers. I loved it. Chapman University is a comprehensive university that still provides personalized attention for its students. Classes are small. The student to faculty ratio is 14-1.
Mm-hmm.
And
perfect.
That's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Jeez. There are literally dozens of opportunities to study abroad, short trips, or entire semesters. And the best part is that 86% of their student body gains financial aid.
Which is really good. So you're talking about small number of students, tons of teachers, and they'll help you with money.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You're close to Disneyland.
I mean, I don't see the downside of this.
That's the biggest sell. I just go to Disneyland all the time.
Very nice.
I mean, right?
So if you guys want more information on Chapman University, check out www.chapman.edu/information. That's www.chapman.edu/information.
Cool.
Boom.
School like it.
So there we go. And somebody who we thought was on his way to a Maester University.
Oh,
but didn't
nice.
Quite make it there.
Oh, that's such a good transition.
was Sam. Samuel Tarley. He makes it home here. And his mother and his sister are happy and glad to see him, and everything's hunky-dory.
Right.
He tells Gilly, here's a story, that this child is theirs. It is not some Craster baby that they found somewhere, but this is indeed Randall Tarley's grandchild. So they'll take him in. But we have another awkward dinner. This is kind of reminiscent
after,
of Maine.
Just after the nice Cinderella moment.
Yes.
Right.
The Gilly makeover.
The awkward, yeah.
That's amazing. We need before and after photos.
Also, I'm like, going up to Hornhill like that, I had a feeling like, Sam, you never told me your family was this well off.
I know.
Right.
I mean, this is... You were hiding something, Sam.
That was a beautiful castle up there.
Yeah, it's very pretty. I think it's more...
It's very Pride and Prejudice.
But even given all that, we learn why he left home. I mean, his dad is just a cancer to be around. I mean,
right.
He's so terrible. No one could grow in that environment with that kind of negative man trying to guide you who has no faith in you. I mean, it's very obvious, even though he has all these things, why he left.
Yeah, he was absolutely awful. I mean, he didn't give him, there was no hello, there was no anything. It was just silence and then, like, fat shaming.
Yeah.
Right away. And he was just terrible. It was awful. You know, I kind of expected his brother to sort of be awful as well, but I didn't get such a bad vibe from his brother.
No, he seemed to be more interactive. But I was wondering, you know, her being a wildling, how long that lie was going to stay hidden, and the fact that this wasn't, you know, Sam's
child. I thought
child.
It would have at least made an episode.
I thought so, too. I even wrote, I'm like, how long will this stay hidden? But nope.
Yeah, I was interested because when we saw kind of Sam shrink back into his... timid self, I was getting really angry. I was like, you need to speak up. And I thought it was interesting.
It much easier said than done.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like his abuser his entire life.
I think why I wanted to see him stand up. Because all of our introductions to him, he's always just kind of been verbally abused everywhere he's gone. And you always want him to stand up. But his reasoning this time made me question if it was actually more of a choice than him having to hide back in his
shell.
That he was doing it this time to protect Gilly and little Sam's right. ability to stay there.
I agree
now, do you think
that
was honest, or do you think that was the reason that he told himself?
I think Sam is one of our more honest characters, so I think we do have to take it. Take it for what he means, especially with how open he is with Gilly. Mm-hmm. Like, he typically tells her the truth. So, and I don't think Sam's above being like, I'm sorry, I was just so scared that I couldn't do it. We've seen him have those conversations before. Like, I do believe him.
Okay. I think it was a little bit of both. I mean, don't get me wrong, he knew if he spoke up, he was putting the child and Gilly in danger. But at the same time, I mean, he kind of shrunk back his entire body language, shrunk back to being a child. He was shorter in that moment. And you know what? I think we needed this character moment because he takes the sword, the Heartsbane.
Yep, the family sword.
Obviously, his father's going to come after it, and we have this moment coming up, I assume, where he's going to be able to redeem himself. So
yeah,
we kind of need that moment where he sinks back in.
Yeah, and also remember how useful Valyrian steel is with the White Walkers and everything up north. So it's very important. I think he gets that sword.
And his justification for it. Over, we've established now that the person who technically has this sword hanging on the wall is awful and doesn't deserve the 500 years it's been in the family. And then you have Sam, who actually has risen to a place of honor. And so it makes sense why, as a family emblem, it should go to Sam.
Right. Right. A lot of people on the chat are going in between thinking Sam was a wuss. And just kind of, a lot of people thought that the whole scene was just to get the sword.
Just to get the sword.
The whole point of the scene was to get the sword. I felt personally it was nice to have a kind of this nice domestic scene amid this series of holy shit moments that keep happening.
It's also to give a better understanding of why Gilly has to go with him.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't go to the Citadel with Gilly, and this was his option. For stowing her.
Yes.
And now it's more justification why if he maybe doesn't go to the Citadel, why he has to take her with him. Like, you don't have that, well, he should have put her here. It's not giving you it's kind of eliminating the options.
True. Yeah. That's a good point.
So where is he going?
That's what I was just going to ask you, Chris.
I know.
And actually, you stole the words right out of my mouth.
I'm asking you,
God
Kyle.
God damn it. Where is he going? Well, I guess you could say, well, he's going to try to go to the Citadel still.
I don't think
but
that's going
to happen
I don't
know
now.
If that's on the table anymore.
He's got a sword now. I don't know that that's part of the book reading.
But he's also still a black brother. Mm-hmm. And that's where his loyalty is to them and to Gilly now, or for a while. And part the reason he came down here is to become a maester because his brothers need a maester up at
that's
the wall.
True.
So turning down that is, he's turning his back on all his friends and everything.
You know what he might do? This is, I don't know if we want to say this for predictions, because I'd like to see Old Town a little bit. I'd like to see the Citadel.
I do too.
And get a sense, especially since... In the books, especially, we only see a little bit of the Citadel, and they keep bringing up, you know, black magic is a problem at the Citadel. They have that guy that got kicked out and is now, you know, in King's Landing.
Right.
Yeah, Kyber, making Franken Mountain. and I just think that it would be nice to see it a little bit, so maybe he'll go to Old Town and try to recruit a maester already to bring them back up to Castle Black.
Hmm.
So then they would have a maester, but then he could go back as just a brother.
Well, then you'd have to have this maester, like, you got to take the black. After all after all these years. How long is the training program of the maester? Have we had any knowledge of that?
I imagine it's like 20 years or something.
Is it 20 years? Is it like 4 years like a normal college? Or is
I don't
it
know,
like,
but you have to get like a
Chapman? Is it 4 years like Chapman?
I don't know how long it is, and I guess that's
you have
just
to
kind
like
of, kind
learn
of...
a different skill for each of the links on your chain.
Yes.
So each different link
is
a different
metal,
skill.
Correct?
Is a different metal
material?
Or different material. Some of the links are cloth.
Yeah, each one are different.
Yeah, depending on what you're actually learning. Matter. So I think that takes a while. You see, all the maesters we've met have giant chains.
Yeah.
That must have been a year at least, each chain.
I don't understand how we're going to follow him through that either. I mean,
right.
we can't watch him read books about better men, can we?
We'll just have Bran flash into the future and be like, see Sam walking around as an old man with a bunch of chains and Gilly around his arm and everything.
Right.
So, I guess that's where... Okay, then if he's not going to the Citadel, where? Do we know? Is there any guesses?
Well, we do have people traveling down from the wall, and one of the stops maybe they could they make...
Could River they run? Is that
no.
what you're saying?
Could they go to Hornhill and maybe catch him on his way out? Is that even possible?
Wait, who's down there? I'm sorry.
Well, we have a whole group traveling to gain followers from the smaller houses with John.
Okay, but that's all up in the north, and their Horn Hill's down in the south.
Could they get there? No.
I mean,
could anyone get there? Is anyone en route to anywhere near Horn Hill?
Littlefinger can get around really quick, so.
I just don't know where we need Sam. I think he's probably going to find housing for Gilly and the child outside the Citadel. I don't know what that's like, but.
Who knows?
We shall see.
So let's move on from that. Let's go to King's Landing, where Tommen and the High Sparrow are having a nice chat.
My least favorite place.
New buddies, and Tommen finally gets to go see Marjorie. And I thought this was going to be the, Tommen, get me out! Get me out of here! And it was anything but that. It was complete opposite, actually. Marjorie has come around.
She's playing her own game. I don't believe her for a second.
I don't believe her. I don't know if I like this storyline still.
Wait, you still think Marjorie is playing some sort
Absolutely.
Of...
Absolutely.
Okay.
She's like the Queen of Thorns. You know, she was raised by the Queen of Thorns. She's not going to somehow see truth in that she was pretending to be good and not really good. I'm with Sarah on this.
Yeah.
Really? Dave, what do you think over there?
I agree. I think that Marjorie's not really someone to all of a sudden find religion. I think she's using it to get back into power, and we see it in the same episode work.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that's kind of the path that it takes, because she convinces Tommen to join up with the Sparrows. That's how they can keep in command, keep their hand on everything. She's just doing what Cersei tried to do, but no, is doing it correctly.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because Cersei, with her, her pride still got in the way of her at least pretending to become kind of a nun. But with Lady Marjorie, she's able to just go for it.
And also, they did not cut Marjorie's hair for the Walk of Atonement. They were going lighter on her.
Well, she didn't.
Well, they knew they didn't have to do a Walk of Atonement.
I guess that's why they didn't cut it.
I don't know. I really want to know what the listeners think about Marjorie, what side she's actually on here. For the sake of argument, I'm going to go against you guys here. I think she has been turned.
And she's playing you, too.
She's playing me, too. Oh, and I've never been happier. So I think the High Sparrow got her. I think he made his little magic happen, and he sort of tweaked her mind a little bit there, and then was able to get the king under his wing. I think he's a smart, clever, charismatic guy, and he's got some power in his corner. And I gotta go with that.
A lot of the comments are disagreeing with you.
No one agrees with you, Kyle. Bye, Kyle.
Hey, I've got three people that are with you guys. I've gotta play devil's advocate here, right?
Yeah.
I did really like at the end where we had the three of them step forward, all on the same level, all in the same plane, and you had the High Sparrow, I believe he was to the right of the king. So it's at the right hand, and it's completely on the same level.
This is on the same side that his hand, his Uncle Kevin, was later in the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, I love the High Sparrow in a lot of ways. Not because, okay, all right.
Tell us, Dave.
This is why. It's because I think he's, every scene where it's just him talking to someone, he's so charismatic.
Yes.
And you want to just like him.
I don't feel that. Maybe it's a man thing, because you guys are like, oh, we love him. And Sarah and I are like, what are you guys listening to?
I think it's because you keep in mind what he follows behind the whole thing. His whole motivation is to have the church be in power. But he's also kind of a decent guy. He's just decent for the wrong reasons.
See, I think that's why I don't know. Because, like, part of me just still doesn't believe that.
Part
of me just still doesn't see him as, like, this holier-than-thou person who actually... Right. I don't know. There's something about him that I still don't like. It's the violence. Like, people were commenting that, oh my gosh, Kristen, you have mentioned that you're Catholic or whatever and you're not on his side. But it's because he's using violence and the way he brainwashes people. I mean, this isn't a kind of faith for people
also
to follow.
Maybe it's because we've said before, we only follow him really going after royalty, after lords and ladies. We haven't seen any of this treatment done on a kind of a regular person. And it's just using the mob. Like, I really thought that if they had gone to kind of battle where it was the Tyrell army versus the Faith Militant, that all of a sudden the crowd was going to also be attacking the Tyrells.
Yeah, I thought that too.
Like, it's using this manipulation. What I like most about what Marjorie is doing is now if she's seen as an ally to the religion, she has some control over that mob mentality as well.
That's a good point, Sarah.
Because what they've been pointing out, especially through, this is jumping a little around, but in the Arya storyline, is there's a whole different story that the crowd sees, that overseas sees, about what's going on. And then as a show, we get to see what's going on behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. For instance, in the play, you see how Cersei's portrayed as like, a loving mother who's just beautiful and always saying the right things. But then what we have seen is she does have that angry side, that she does do all this. So if Marjorie says she's with the Faith, and then supposedly maybe the High Sparrow dies, Marjorie might not be as blamed.
Yeah, that's very true. She's kind of putting herself in a good position where she's still beloved by all. And I'm wondering, because we talked about this a few episodes back, where was it a plan for Cersei to send Tommen to treat and get in the good graces with the High Sparrow? Because if that's still the case, then they are really playing that High Sparrow, and that would be kind of marvelous to see.
I would like that. I don't think they're doing that, unfortunately.
Okay.
She seemed pretty upset.
Yeah, yeah. I think Cersei and Jaime are kind of losing the battle right now.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta fight back.
I was so with Jaime. Like, took that horse up the stairs, and he had Goofy Mace Tyrell there, and I was with him. But
a lot of people on the chat want Tommen to die.
That's not surprising.
Die, and I mean, I think he's just aggressive. A sweet kid that doesn't know what he's doing.
Wait a minute, but has he done anything for us to like him?
He's trying.
I think he's
just. I don't
think so. He's trying to balance all the voices on his head.
Yeah, okay. He's an honest guy. He's an honest kid who just is a kid who's suddenly a king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he hasn't done anything good, but he hasn't really done anything bad because he's just an innocent boy.
But he also hasn't done anything cool or likable.
True.
You know what I mean?
He's got to be a showman. He's got to do cool stuff.
He just hasn't done anything for me to like him. I know he's sort of innocent in the whole thing, but like he doesn't have any cool characteristics.
Mm. Right.
So I did like the new Kingsguard outfit there. It was the crown upon a seven-pointed star.
Yeah, yes. Sparrow Kingsguard.
So they had those ready to go.
Yeah, real quick.
They were like, you got the blacksmith. Let's get Gendry over here. Make us some suits of armor here.
I need him back. Thank you for talking about him. I need, there's so many people I need to come back. It's in my prediction section.
So
stay tuned.
So Jaime has a scene with Tommen right after this. But before we get into that, we need to flash over to the Freys real quick and talk about them for a second. We finally get our best friend Walder Frey back. Have you guys missed him?
I don't think so.
Oh, God.
I can't believe he's still alive.
So Walder Frey, the man responsible for the Red Wedding here, is getting word that the Blackfish has retaken River Run, and he is none too happy with this. So he wants to send his children, because they're all his kids, they're all Freys, he's got a million of them, to send them back to get River Run back. But we get this piece of information that...
the Blackfish has it?
Yes, the Blackfish has taken it. Yeah. And where is my notes? Yes, we are the Malisters, the Blackwoods, the Brotherhood Without Banners are all back in action. And there are these houses that are rising up again. And not for the bad guys, it so seems.
Yeah.
And then Jaime is also going.
Well, Jaime's going to be going over there. Right. But the last thing we learn over with the Freys is that they have Edmure in chains.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, it seems like if they're going to send Edmure over there and just kind of dangle him in front of the castle, it would seem like.
I mean, I feel like the Blackfish has never been too keen on Edmure, though. They don't have a nice bond.
But Edmure is the Lord of Riverrun. Mm-hmm. That is his castle.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's that bargaining token. Just like the Boltons having Sansa or something like that, the Freys have Edmure. They have
I feel
the
like
Lord
we don't
Riverrun.
Care. I feel like we don't.
Would his sacrifice be okay?
I'm fine with it. I'm kind of excited for it, honestly.
What, Edmure? What did he ever do to you?
You don't remember? He did so many wrong things. He ruined basically the war for Rob when he disobeyed him. He can't shoot an arrow. He was a total pain in the ass about marrying someone for the cause, and then as soon as she was pretty, he was like, meh.
Sarah remembers.
I never saw him.
Sarah freaking never forgets. Kristen, you were right. Jamie is being sent by Tommen to go treat with the Blackfish at River Run, is what we learned. So
what does that mean exactly? What does he want Jamie to do?
I think he's sending Jamie over there with the Lannister army and stuff like that to go get this castle back. Because this is a castle that is loyal to the Starks. It's loyal to the enemies of the Lannisters of King's Landing. And so they're going to send Jamie, because Jamie is still a well-known figure in Westeros. And so he holds some weight.
We have the Freys who want the castle. We also have the Lannisters.
The Lannisters are
with the Freys. Should technically be.
Yes.
They might not be.
It doesn't seem like they trust the Freys enough to do it, so they're sending their own people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Down there. And that's what Jamie is going to be doing. He gets sent down there. And once again, we get talk about this impending trial by combat that the Mountain is going to fight for Cersei at some point. So they've been dangling this in front of us for weeks.
I feel like the Mountain at this point is just not going to make it to the combat, or it's not going to be a trial by combat, because they've told us so many times that it's going to be a trial by combat. I just don't believe you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you're trying to get me pumped about it, which is making me be like, I don't trust you, Game of Thrones.
Maybe he's just about to fight, and then his head just falls off. He's like, oh, no, and he's just chasing his head around.
So let's head over to Arya in Meereen. She's watching the play, The Death of Joffrey, The Death of Tywin Lannister.
Right.
And she sneaks backstage, and she's going to poison the sweet lady that...
Lady Crane has
a nice chat with her. There you go. And her mind changes, and she ends up saving this woman. What did you think about this?
Honestly,
Kristen, what do you think?
I was really hoping that Arya wouldn't kill her. I mean, I think we all liked her, Lady Crane. We all were sort of sitting there in Arya's shoes, you know, and hoping that she didn't. We didn't want her to become an assassin. We watched her see this play and how it affected her. We know that she's still Arya, and I think watching her get that needle is what we all really wanted.
Yes!
Right.
Yes.
Needle! Oh my gosh.
Completely agree.
I love this scene. I was like, yes, she freed herself from it. I thought it was going to happen later, but she got out, she got Needle, and now she's like now she's being the hunted, because she's kind of been doing some hunting, you know, a lot. She's been hunting down her list and everything, and now she is the hunted.
I kind of wanted a more creative way than, don't drink that, but outside of that, just like swat it. But I'm really glad that we jumped. We didn't stay with this dilemma anymore. We just, like, jumped forward on her storyline.
I was surprised that it took a stranger, the death of a stranger, to make her stop. I thought she would maybe kill a stranger, even if she had this nice little scene with her. I thought it was going to be she was sent to kill someone that she knows or likes, and then she would have to decide if she's going
to
stick with the Brotherhood or not. That's what I expected.
It to be
but
that.
This is more meaningful.
This is more meaningful
because, like, it's more about who she is as a person and personal values than emotional values.
And I thought it was a bit poignant that she did it in saving Cersei, in a way, which is kind of like, oh, play within a play going on here.
I like that.
I thought that was pretty powerful. And then she calls out her own sister. watch this one. What does she say? She's dangerous, or
she wants you dead.
She wants you dead or something.
She just told her plain out.
There you go.
And then everyone looks at her.
And there's so many levels, because Sansa and Cersei dead and all this stuff.
Yeah, I also save Cersei. Yeah.
Another kind of a little moment in there that I thought was interesting was one, her naming herself Mercy.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Before even making the decision that she was going to be merciful,
right?
The expressive eyes, because it's always kind of been in a lot of the tests we've seen with Arya, is if she has been lying when she tells her stories in kind of school, basically, and also how she knew Cersei's reaction to Joffrey's death without having been there, because she saw the play. The play was like the emotional, like, I'm so sad, this is my lost son. And she said Cersei would have been angry.
Angry.
Well, and that's not something she had seen.
Yeah, but she knows Cersei.
That's true.
I don't think she was talking about Cersei there. I think she was talking about herself. Mm. I think she was seeing... But it was the first time she ever put herself in the place of Cersei.
True.
And actually took some time to think about where her enemies are coming from.
That's a good point.
And have some empathy. Because she saw that... It's someone who she loved, family member, died in her arms. She's going to react the way Arya reacted, which is with vengeance and anger.
True.
And that was the first time. So that was a huge step for her.
And I think she's ready. Is it the maid that's coming?
The waif?
The waif is coming for her. I think she's ready to take her.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that fight. I've been not looking forward to their fights the past few episodes. Now I'm like, let's do this.
Sanjin Masek, sorry if I'm slaughtering that name, on the board says, this is waif bowl. I think we're about to have a full-on fight here.
We've had Clegane, we want Clegane Bowl, now we want Waif Bowl.
Waif Bowl.
Waif Bowl.
Hashtag Waif Bowl. Spread that around.
I love that.
So last but not least, let's head over to Daenerys, who is riding with her new Khalasar, and Daario, who you are meant to conquer. That is your thing. And she's like, hold on a second. She pieces
I see some wind.
I see some wind. Yeah, she saw some dirt blowing in the distance. And she comes back riding Drogon.
Right.
Who's huge.
Who is massive.
Who's giant.
And scary as all hell. But, yeah, what did you take from this? Did you like this? Were you excited?
Honestly, I didn't like this because I feel like we've had a lot of big Dany moments lately. Okay. And there hasn't been a good build. Yes. I feel like they're just happening. We're just getting these war speeches and inspiration to follow her, and it's like there's no build for why we should. We just get these speeches out of nowhere.
I'm totally with you on that. I feel like every time we see Daenerys now, it's like a little bit of dialogue, and then either everybody is like down on her or everybody's cheering, and it's like there's nothing else going on with her character at the moment.
Yeah,
I sort wanted or
there was that moment of like there need to be ships, and I was like, I wanted to expand on that. I wanted a little bit more strategy, ideas, where they could go.
Well, Daario was like, nobody's got that, okay?
We're like, like, I wanted some more kind of options. Because I liked the moment. I was glad Drogon was back because I just like the imagery of it. But I already kind of had took the her Khalasar to be following her without any doubts. They didn't put any, like, unsettling moments to show that people weren't interested or weren't really
that's
maybe
the scene
into the
we're
idea
missing.
About like the women or her being a woman, or even she mentioned not picking blood riders. Maybe there was a scene or a moment where people pressured her to. Like that I guess
it needed that moment of doubt. Needed that doubt
before
to,
you really earned this. Not to say I like hated it. I was fine with it. It just I wanted it a little more earned.
One of my problems with the scene was that she so quickly was like, all right, I just went through this. Now I got to get to Westeros. She didn't at once mention, like, oh, I've got Slaver's Bay that I've been trying to reform, and now it's fallen to hell, and, like, I've got to, you know. The whole reason she stayed is I got to take care of this first. And now she's just sort of like, yeah, whatever, let's get some ships.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just felt, like, lost in this scene and, like, this doesn't belong here. Yeah. That's how I felt completely. Those were my notes when I was writing. I wasn't like, this is a great speech, this is cool. I was like, why are we getting this right now?
Yeah, it's difficult because we all want her to just get on those ships and go off to Westeros. I mean, so many of us want that. But at the same time, she's got to deal with that. And if she leaves, she won't be liked at all. You guys have anything else to chat about this scene? Or you want to talk about predictions?
She has so much blood of her blood. So many.
She has so many bloods of my bloods.
Bloods of the bloods.
Blood of my blood. Maybe she can feed it to Bran.
There you go. Guys, let's get into predictions. Let's talk about what's going to happen.
I have so many things.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
You can read mine.
I can't read your handwriting. No, I can't. Jaime, River Run, Queen versus Cersei.
Those are good. That's true.
Kristen, what are your predictions? What are you thinking?
Well, the Queen versus Cersei. You were right about that one. Which I'm excited for because, you know, Cersei really does need to be put in her place. But I think we're going to see Cersei attack the Queen of Thorns here.
Okay.
And I'm excited for that because they're both very strong women and I like seeing them in scenes together. But Yara wants to take back the Iron Islands, which I'm like, just go to Dany. Dany needs your ships. Go to Daenerys. All right. I don't get why Yara wants to go back to the Iron Islands.
Right now.
She has her warriors who follow her with her. The people back there didn't choose her.
Well, I can understand her not wanting her uncle who killed her dad to be ruler.
I understand that, but it doesn't seem like it's necessarily vengeance that they even spoke about in the past few episodes when we've seen her. Hmm. So I'm kind of curious as to what exactly she wants there.
Yeah.
Sarah, what are you thinking?
Okay. So,
oh boy.
This is not going to happen anytime soon.
We only have 3 minutes left.
This is what I want to happen. So, Jaime, a long time ago, we saw him flip through the book of all of the Kingsguard. And he had a very
White book, yes.
Yes, and he had a very empty page, and he was like, but I still have time. And at the time, Joffrey was like, psh. But I think that him kind of being decloaked was a good thing, because I think now he has opportunity to do something really kind of worthwhile and get out of King's Landing. And I'm hoping that eventually he'll be led to the Wall, actually, because it was always supposed to be like Tyrion of the family who went to the Wall or would have ended up taking the Black. Mm-hmm. But I want Jaime to go to the Wall, become Lord Commander, because right now we have kind of a weak Lord Commander, and add a very interesting love triangle to my Tormund Bran with a little bit of Jaime mixed in.
Oh, gosh.
Plotline.
Well,
that's what I want to happen.
A lot of speculation on here that I want to bring up. A lot of people think they're going to meet up in River Run. That the Sansa with her kind of crowd, as they're trying to pick up people, they're
going
to go down to River Run because they know that the Blackfish will be on their side because of family. So we might find that there'll be a whole lot of people in River Run trying to go for it.
But Jaime would need to get Sansa for Cersei because Cersei still wants to kill Sansa.
Or will he fulfill his oath to Catelyn Stark?
Yeah. Jaime has a lot of people to kill for Cersei still. We can't forget all of this.
I feel like
Sansa.
I feel like Jaime is only a bad guy, though, when he's with Cersei.
But
I don't feel like he follows her command when she's not around.
So if he takes the Black and can't be with a woman,
I don't see him doing that.
What's interesting is they're catching up with where Jaime is physically in the books right now, where the book ended, at least, which is in River Run. But not psychologically, because in the books, he's on the outs with Cersei. And I'm curious if that's going to happen, if he's going to get on the outs again with Cersei.
I think it will, honestly. Like I said, I only really see him under her influence when, you know, she's around him and, like, feeding him her tongue.
Very interesting.
I'm eavesdropping on the chat a little bit. And Essie Gilmore says, Brienne is going to River Run because she was sent by Sansa.
Yeah, that's what I was asking last week. Did Sansa actually go down there? Because Brienne was saying no, and then she sort of rode out, you know, when Tormund gave her
the eye. So
we don't know if she actually is going down there or if she's staying with the group and going around the north collecting lords. We don't really know. So Brienne may just show up there. That's very true.
By herself.
By herself. There we go.
I also think that there's going to be a little bit of question coming in about who's going to start riding dragons. Because now people are riding dragons more. She brought up the idea of blood riders. And there's something in the book that's always brought up is every dragon needs a rider. She has to find people to trust to ride those dragons.
Tyrion was looking pretty nice with those dragons.
Oh my god, I want Tyrion to ride a dragon. A lot of people think that he can't because he's not Targaryen. But, it would be great to have him ride a dragon.
Dave, why don't you tell the people where they can find you?
You can find me at Mr. Dave Child, also known as Mr. Dave Child, on the Twitter and everywhere else.
So we should just call you
Mr. Dave Child. That's fine. Okay. Yes,
right. I like it.
You can find me at Sarah_Stretton. That's me.
You can follow me on Twitter at Cinematic Escape, or you can check out my Instagram. There's lots of dogs. There's nature. It looks like I'm green seeing with Bran. It's Cinematic_Escape.
Nice. And you can find me at Kyle Matic on Twitter. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 6, Blood of My Blood. We'll see you guys next week. Mr. Dave Child over there, everybody. Thank you very much.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Wafeball!
See you later!
Wafeball 2016.
Wafeball.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.